Walker or something?
Who's the distinguished event planner, Maureen Connolly. She recommended this woman, I guess. And then she gets into this. See, I don't like it when people do this, all right? She recommends this woman. She's talking to Bobby. And then she says, well, what, you know, something like, well, I don't know, so you work with Colin, you know, he's so weird and he never looks at anybody. And, he, you know, I just, he used to bother me so much that he wouldn't look at me.
That's a good way to get somebody on the show.
Well, and Bobby's saying, you're telling me I have to deal with this every day. I'm dealing with this, you know, psycho who, you know, sits around muttering to himself and not making eye contact. You know, Bobby already knows I don't look at anybody and that I have no people skills. Bobby knows that. There's no point in telling Bobby that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We all know it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. And just calling attention to the fact that I have neurological and psychological problems is not a way to...
I wouldn't think it.
The following is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system. WTIC, Hartford.
Well, as they say in sports, that's why we play the games.
Yep.
Well, anyway, in terms of Maureen Connolly, the event planner who's like walking around talking to my producer about the fact that I have obviously deep-rooted psychological problems, which everybody knows anyway, I didn't get on the air and talk about the Shriver / Kennedy family had a big fundraiser for one of their zillion relatives who was running for Congress. I don't even remember. I think this was, it might have been Tito Shriver. I'm not sure which, or Jermaine Shriver. I don't know who, some Shriver was running for something somewhere, and or Kennedy. I think it was a Shriver, though. And so, this is actually pretty great, actually. And keep in mind, Maureen Connolly, who's like the events planner around here, you know, and did like the Special Olympics thing. Do you remember the big Special Olympics thing down in Haven? Mm-hmm. Maureen did that, all right? Which is Shriver O'Reilly, too.
Oh, yeah.
All of this. Well, Maureen actually didn't really, she didn't happen to show up for this little Shriver fundraiser for whichever wacko candidate this was. And which was fine. I mean, she might have been out of town or something like that. Except that a bunch of us, after the fundraiser, happened to go over to the half store. And there was Maureen. Whereupon Jim Shriver sat down next to her and just picked on her. I mean, picked on her for like an hour. Because, you know, you don't stick it to the Shrivers and the Kennedys after you have, like, had a business relationship with them. You would be better off sticking it to Tony Soprano, really. You would be better off not showing up for one of his fundraisers than, you know, blowing off a Kennedy Shriver fundraiser. But anyway.
But he wouldn't need an organizer for one of his fundraising.
No, that's true. But then, of course, what do I know? I have psychological problems. Everyone knows I have psychological problems. I mean, don't tell my producer I have psychological problems. He knows that.
It's not a big secret around here.
It's not a big secret around here that there's something wrong with me. I mean, there's no point in calling up and saying that. And by the way, could you get this musician on his show?
Yeah, because I think the first instinct it would hit you would be no.
Well,
the musician's not coming on the show.
Well, if Bobby had any loyalty to either one of us, but we've already established that he doesn't. So, I mean, if
but I mean, from your
viewpoint. Well, from my point of view, maybe, I don't know.
But yeah, you probably weren't asked. You probably went ahead and did it anyway.
No, we haven't even set this thing up yet.
Oh, it hasn't been set up yet.
But anyway, she's a lovely singer, and she does some nice music, and maybe she'll be on here. Notwithstanding Maureen Connolly's unkind comments about me. unkind, and I might add, heartbreaking.
You're right about the loyalty thing.
Heartbreaking comment.
There is no loyalty from Bobby.
No.
None.
You know, this is a kind of an interesting story, or maybe not. What would you like to talk about?
An interesting story?
Yeah. Would you like to talk about this interesting story?
Sure. Well, I don't care.
Here's two book.
Plenty of things.
Here's two book-related stories. One of them is that Clinton, working at a pace rivaled only by Bill Curry, his former aide, is finally going to get Clinton's supposedly going to get his book done, and you know he's been working on this book since around the time Curry started his book too, I think.
Yeah. And, doesn't Clinton have other stuff to do?
Well, maybe not really. No, what? But anyway, what he does is, you know what he does? These guys who are politicians, that's why they can't write.
Although, I want to say, by the way, Curry's buckled down lately. He's actually getting his work done. But Clinton, you can see this is an inclination they all have. Clinton will write stuff, and then he'll call somebody up and read it to them.
Hey, listen to this. This is pretty good.
So it takes him forever to get anything done, you know. He's going to call up, like, five people, probably, and read the same thing.
Hey, this is pretty funny. You're going to like this one.
But anyway,
that's a pretty good Clinton.
The concern that they have is that if he doesn't get his book out before the convention, then his book comes out after the convention, and, you know, they're printing 1.5 million copies for the first run. And, you know, it's going to be a pretty big story, and no matter what's in it, this is a book that people actually probably will be kind of interested in until it turns out that there's nothing interesting in it. But I bet you there will be, you know. I don't know if he's going to deal with Monica or what. I'm not even sure that he's said that one way or another. And that's not the only thing people want to know about anyway. And everybody already knows everything about that. But there was a concern anyway that he would sort of preempt Kerry's final electoral cycle. You know, if the thing needs to come out in June. So I guess he's burning the midnight oil now, and he's only calling like three people every time he writes a paragraph so that he can get that done. This is the one he got the advance of more than $10 million for. Well, meanwhile, okay, $1.5 million for a first run of a nonfiction book. That's a lot. But meanwhile, The Da Vinci Code has sold, are you ready? 6 million copies. 6 million copies.
Wow.
I mean, that's incredible. I mean, and really, you go through an airport, you get on a plane, and it's like, you know, every plane you get on, there's only 20 people reading this book. Those of us who've written, you know, commercial flops are very resentful of The Da Vinci Code. And I mean, you just walk around
here. Well, is it fair to say that you wrote a commercial flop?
Yeah, it is, actually. But anyway, that's neither.
Well, wait a minute.
Neither here nor there. But the...
Well, but wait. I mean, it wasn't a commercial flop, was it, really?
Yeah, it wasn't.
I mean, there was a... All right. So it didn't sell quite as much
you know
as
what
you would have hoped.
Robert Browning's books didn't sell very well either. He's well thought of these days. And isn't it true that Curry, whenever I weave you on this, I think he claims that Thoreau's book, Walden, didn't sell like any copies in his lifetime or something. Something like that.
You're looking for a big burst of sales, like, down the road.
Posthumously, I may be very popular. I think there's a good chance. But anyway, this Da Vinci Code sold 6 million copies, and it has now become a problem where there's an article in the New York Times today saying that various Christian groups now feel like they have to do, like, teaching exercises to make it clear that this isn't really dogma, or it doesn't conform to their understanding. That, you know, the idea that Jesus got married and had kids and stuff like that, you know, and some of the other stuff that's in the book.
This is where, this is your opportunity.
Yeah.
This is your chance to perhaps write a book explaining that this isn't actually dogma.
Well, I actually, in my column last week, I had a little scene where I had George W. I made this up, where George W. Bush puts down a copy of The Da Vinci Code for Dummies. I know there already are books coming out about this. There are like a whole bunch of books coming out from religious publishers. They're called debunking books. Debunking the Da Vinci, anyway, they're debunking books. And that's their whole purpose, because I guess there are now 7.2 million copies of the book in print, 6 million sold, and now there are 10 new Da Vinci-related books. 8 are by Christian publishers, and they're, you know, they're mainly aimed at explaining, well, this isn't really true, this stuff in the Da Vinci Code. It's a thriller. But I don't know. I wonder if this is the smartest thing for them to do, because first of all, people actually, they like this version. They like the version of Christianity where Jesus gets married. You know, they just make them happy. Maybe they should embrace it. Say, well, who knows? Maybe he did.
It's possible.
It's possible.
We won't rule it out.
We don't know everything. I mean, if I were them, I wouldn't be fighting this. People want to think that maybe Jesus got married. Maybe he had a kid. It makes them happy. But see, I think what they're really concerned, a lot of the evangelical groups and stuff like that, they still want to keep women in their place.
Right.
And these books are not about keeping women in their place.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
All right, Ron and Canton.
Oh, man.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Ron.
God.
How are you?
Listen to any radio today, Ron?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, you know, I managed to fit a little in.
God.
You know what?
Like 18 hours today or what?
Oh, man. Dog, I'm not feeling it.
Radio's good for you.
Yeah, I'm not having fun up here right now.
Yeah, I think Rush is, as you call him, a hideous fathead, even though he often makes them, he can be very funny,
Because you're more the Buddy Vicevich type at this point.
Well, I like Buddy. Buddy's a little to the right of me, but
you've been
like...
so good for Buddy. You know what you are? You're like the goat they put in with the thoroughbred horse, you know? You're like the goat that they have in there with the racehorse.
I thought it was more like the lamb they
kind
put in with
the settling
lion.
Down the horse a little bit. You know, Buddy is, he's stamping on the hay going...
You know, when you guys are...
All right. I'm dancing.
Yeah.
They got me dancing finally. You want to mention this thing?
It's not this thing.
This thing? This thing of ours?
What, did you notice how sheepishly, though, Chris Francis came slithering in here?
He needed a favor, so here we are. We're doing it.
All right, here it is.
The Stan Kenton Orchestra.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No,
it has nothing to do with Stan Kenton.
No. It's the Stan Kenton alumni.
Oh.
It's the Mike Vax Big Band.
Oh, I see. The Mike Vax Big Band?
The Mike Vax Big Band.
Oh, they're terrific. They're wonderful. Where are they playing?
They will be playing, let's see, the Manchester High School Band and the Journal Enquirer present the only New England performance of the Mike Vax Big Band.
I just spell Vax.
V-A-X.
Okay.
Google Mike.
Anyway, when and where is this going to be?
It's Wednesday, April 28th, which is what? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
It's tomorrow?
Get your dancing shoes on.
7 o'clock, Bailey Auditorium, Manchester High School. VIP seating is $20. General admission, $15, and then it goes down from there.
Yeah.
You can purchase tickets from Dynamite Percussion.
Where's that?
I guess that would be percussion.
Yeah.
Dynamite Percussion, 575 Main Street, Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, I guess that's about it.
It's about
a night to remember those great Stan Kenton classics and some new gems played by jazz trumpet virtuoso Mike Vax.
I would just like
his
to say
big band.
$20 for VIP seating. It's
kind of
devaluing the whole VIP commodity a little bit, but that's okay. That's fine.
It's nice. $10.
It's
bucks.
An entry-level VIP.
$10 for students and senior citizens.
Right. I don't think, you know, you're going to finally...
There's a free afternoon educational clinic,
I don't
by the way.
P. Diddy is going to be in there with you, having paid his $20 to be a VIP, if you know what I'm saying. But it sounds good. And you know, the place that I do yoga, I was just doing a little yoga here.
Yes,
you know what they're doing on Tuesday nights?
No.
I don't even get this. This is like a joke by me, except it's true. It's really happening. On Tuesday nights, I was just looking at the schedule.
Disco?
No, Yoga for Golfers. That's actually what it's called, Yoga for Golfers.
Really? Yoga for Golfers?
Yoga for Golfers.
Which I think that's a great concept.
It sort of makes sense, because golfers are, you know, for the most part, out of shape, you know, and then, you know, because what have they been doing all winter?
No.
Drinking and...
Golfers aren't necessarily out of shape.
Well, you know.
Many of these guys are real athletes.
Right.
Because it is a sport, you know.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Tiger Woods. I'm talking about, like, people around here. It's not a sport, anyway. It's an activity.
I think it's a sport.
And so, you know, but most of them sit around all winter drinking.
Wishing
it would get warmer so that they can go out and play golf.
Very unfair.
And so it is a good idea for them to do a little yoga, stretch their bodies a little bit so that if they swing a club, they don't want to have traction. It's actually a pretty good idea. Now, how you would ever get golfers... who are among the least evolved spiritually people.
No,
I don't
think that's true.
You
could say that about some golfers,
yeah.
But you could say that about any segment of the population.
Right.
A certain percentage of those people would be
99%
not
of them are goons.
What?
99% of them are. You know, they're just not going to be just in yoga. You just can't. But I think it's a great idea. If they were to try yoga, I think it would probably help them a lot, and they probably wouldn't. I mean, they probably wouldn't, you know, sprain themselves.
Is there any flexibility? Is flexibility involved with this at all?
Flexibility is everything in yoga.
Oh,
really.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, you need flexibility. You need to sort of loosen up the, you know, and you. It's also grueling. It looks like it's nothing. It's like the hardest thing I've ever done. I mean, it's really true. I mean, and I've played a lot of sports. I know everybody thinks I'm this pansy cream puff, wise ass college boy punk. Pencil neck, you know.
Well, that was part of that
loser.
Would be pretty much.
Well, some of that's true.
True.
I've also played a lot of sports.
Yeah.
And I played some of them pretty competitively and pretty rigorously. And I've never done anything as hard as... I mean, I come out of those things, I'm just screaming. Because I don't have the strength to scream.
In
yoga, no one can hear you scream. It's like outer space. So I'm sure the yoga for golfers will not be that difficult.
Yeah.
You'll probably just get them to, you know, prepare for drinking in the 19th hole a little bit, you know. But it's a nice idea, anyway. It's at the West Harbor Yoga Center. Yeah.
It's my personal friend, Sarah McLaughlin.
Close personal friend.
Remember the time that
yes,
I had the interview?
Yes,
couldn't. They sent me to interview Sarah McLaughlin on a bus. So it was like her bus was over there at the Lilith thing, the Lilith, whatever it was. And so I sat down with Sarah McLaughlin. I guess we went off to have something to eat or something, but it turned out that they sent me with one of those mini disc recorders. Was that what I had?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out how it worked.
Yeah.
Or it was a DAT machine. That's what it was. It was a DAT machine. It's all the same.
High tech stuff, anyway.
Anything that's more complicated than like a crossbow or something, I'm lost. So she had to make the machine. She had to turn the recording machine on for.
That's always good.
So the interview begins with me saluting her for being so smart. Anyway, we picked out that song because we're about to have a little meeting with Karen Stetzer or something like that from Baskin-Robbins, and she's part of this Baskin-Robbins push for literacy, but she's not here right now because she's lost. And so Bobby was questioning whether that affected her street cred in terms of literacy, although it seems to be literacy and map reading are two completely different things. So
yeah.
She may... have a lot of credibility in the area of literacy or in the area of ice cream.
Yeah.
But
did you say the same thing, Bobby, about Columbus?
We got a
Magellan?
Yeah. Well, anybody can get lost. And, but anyway, she should be here at any point. I think map reading is Carvel. I think they're the ones who are doing that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got the time to take a few phone calls if you can remember what it was that we were talking about before. You know what I'd like to mention? And this is just me personally. I'm in a slump. I'm in a slump.
Oh, don't start that.
No, I think I am in a slump. I'm definitely in a writing slump. I can identify with Alex Rodriguez. I'm not getting paid as much to be in a slump as Alex Rodriguez is, but I don't think I've written anything good or funny or anything like that in a long time. I feel like I'm okay on the radio. I'm not great. But I'm definitely, my writing is just way, way off. It's starting to bother me, but I don't really know how you fight your way out. I mean, I've been in slumps before. I know what they're like.
I don't know. Have any idea.
Everybody goes through them one way or another. No matter what it is you do, however you live your life, you go through slumps.
Well, I think you just have to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you just keep doing it over and over again, and you just hope that somehow or other. But I mean, in some ways, when I think about that, I actually think maybe it's counterproductive for people who are in slumps, like highly paid people who are in slumps. To get, like, A-Rod has, like, a motivational coach, and I'm sure they're going to bring in, for all the Yankees and stuff, they're probably bringing, like, hypnotists and biofeedback people and God knows what else. And I think that actually probably would deepen a lot of people's slumps. It's probably better, just as you suggest, to repeat what you've always done until, of course, that's what a slump is. You're just repeating what you've always done. Or is that a rut? What's the difference between a rut and a slump? A slump is simply low performance. Whereas a rut is doing the
monotony.
Same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
I may be in a rut and a slump. I'm not sure. I think my rut turned into a slump. It could be that.
Getting to be rather complex.
Yeah. Well, I'm a complex person.
I know.
As it happens.
But I think you're worrying too much.
I've been very worried about this writing thing. Like, I wrote another column.
The writing thing, I can't help you
with that. I got there writing the column. I thought, boy, this isn't funny, and it's not that interesting, and...
I don't know. The writing thing is a whole different ball game. I don't know how that all works, but
all right. Well, I'm concerned. I thought I would mention that because we have a little lull while we're waiting for the ice cream lady to come. It seemed like an appropriate time for me to whine about myself.
Yeah. What were the excuses for the other 747 times the last month?
There must have been other lulls.
Oh. Okay. I'll be honest, you haven't whined, really.
I haven't really had a really major psychotic meltdown.
No, you haven't had one in a long,
have to go back to
long time.
Last year sometime. In calendar 04, I don't think I've had a really major...
I think you've been pretty happy.
...psychological decompensation where I'm, basically squawking like a parrot on the floor of a cage or something, which does periodically happen. But I've been pretty good lately. And without, I'd like to say, any medication or none of this...
Mm-hmm. I think it happened right after you threw your medals away.
Yeah,
I think that's what started it.
That purged me.
Yeah.
I did do some more looking into this emissions program thing because it does amuse me.
God.
And I have to tell you one hilarious thing. Here comes the ice cream lady. I have to tell you one hilarious thing, which is
how can you tell if the ice cream lady?
You got big boxes of stuff. Is that the ice cream lady or is it not?
I think it is.
Okay. I was sort of trying to figure out why
things went wrong. First of all, why did they pick these people? Why did they decide to go to the system? They used to have 25 different emission testing locations.
Yes.
Now they have 279. The 25 were riddled with...
It's more convenient.
Maybe more convenient, but I mean, the problem with the last one wasn't that it wasn't convenient enough.
It's an image.
Well, the image, they actually did mention that. They did mention the image.
Well, it is an image. It's so much easier now. You can go right down the street and go to somebody and they can screw it.
Yeah, but they also said they wanted to have state-of-the-art equipment. Well, one of the problems with this, with their equipment, I discovered that this is true, is that humidity can throw off emissions testing. I mean, it can change the results a little bit. The humidity where, like in the bay where you're testing.
Mm-hmm.
So state-of-the-art emissions testing has sensors in the bay at the location where the car is being tested to test for humidity, all right?
Uh-huh.
This particular thing, now you're going to think I'm making this up, but this Agbar thing that we're doing here in the state, they have a piece of software that gets a weather report for the zip code where the bay is, and that's how they calculate the humidity in the bay. I know, you think I'm making that up, but that is actually true. They have a piece of software, and all it does is, like, you know, dial up AOL or something, you know?
It gets a weather report.
It feeds the zip code of where the bay is and gets a weather report and finds out what the local humidity is, and that's what they use. That's the state-of-the-art technology that we switched to. This is what happens when you leave me alone in my apartment all day with nothing to think about except things like this. I start finding out little things that, you know.
Well, see, now, you've mentioned two sparkling things, but if these are parts of your column this week, I think the writing's going to be fine.
Yeah, the column sucks. And I'm just in a terrible nosedive here. And I'll tell you one thing. If there aren't, like, really smart amino acids in this ice cream right now, if there isn't, like, some kind of, you know, ginkgo biloba peppermint crunch that we're about to eat, I'm a dead man. Joining us now is, tell us your name.
Setzer.
We'll turn on your microphone first. Now tell us your name.
Karen Setzer.
And you're from Baskin & Robbins?
I am.
Yeah.
Are you going to put her under oath?
Yeah.
What is this? It's not like this.
Has anyone connected with Infinity Viacom given you any inducements?
Especially if you've questioned my literacy. I heard that.
I didn't question your literacy. Bobby questioned your literacy, and I said map reading and literacy are two different things. So the fact that you're lost... You're only a little lost. You did fine. You're here. The ice cream's here. And
we're all out of time.
We're all out of time. But we'll hold her over, and we'll eat some ice cream and stuff like that. Except you're not going to eat any ice cream?
I don't think so.
Yeah. No. He's on a diet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so it's more than that. I mean,
he's on a serious regime, a serious health regime. He's on a quest to transform himself. Whereas I'm in just a downward spiral right now. So really, I could just, you know, I could eat every single ice cream thing in that box, and that would just...
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Some of us are eating ice cream, and some of us, because of their dietary restrictions, are not. I feel a little guilty.
That would be me.
Yeah.
You know, you don't feel guilty at all.
Oh, I do feel a little guilty. That's a guilty that I wouldn't. I've already tried. Fran Fisher from Baskin Robbins is here with us.
I actually probably could eat like a couple spoonfuls of that, but
Your discipline is tremendous. I tip my hat to you.
Not that.
And you know what the story of today will not be? It will not be me eating ice cream. It won't be Karen Setzer coming in here with Baskin Robbins information. It'll be the fact that you held your ground.
No,
you drew a line in the sand.
No.
You drew a line in the gold medal ribbon ice cream, and that was good.
Well,
gold
fabulous.
Medal ribbon, is that what it's called?
It is.
What does it have in it? Flour? Why is it called gold medal ribbon?
Flour.
It's good.
It's chocolate and vanilla ice creams with caramel ribbon in it.
It's good. And then I just had one of those. I don't know why you would want to make ice cream based
on... What do you mean? You had more than one?
I've had two. I've tasted two different...
You've eaten two of those?
Yeah, well, there's little
scoops.
Things.
They're little scoops.
I'll metabolize it all away being crazy. Why would you want to make ice cream based on Shrek? First of all, Shrek came out like eons ago.
And
it was full of like unappetizing green gooey people.
This is the Shrek 2 release, which is coming out in May. Yeah, May 20th, I believe.
I guess I'm not plugged in. This is Shrek 2, Fire Walk With Me. So there's three different Shrek-related flavors, and I just had one of them. It was actually pretty good. What was it called?
Yeah, you had the Puss in Boots Chocolate Mousse.
You're asking for trouble with that name.
Puss in Boots Chocolate Mousse.
Puss in Boots is one of the new characters in the new movie.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's the white chocolate mousse and milk chocolate and chocolate ice creams with chocolate chips and chocolate-covered pretzels.
This is not going to be good.
This is a reference to the new Snoop Dogg movie. Or
right. Well, you'd love our Donkey Gone Banana Sunday then.
Oh, yeah. So there's three different Shrek-related flavors, and I the one that
you
I
have all three.
No, I had the Puss in Boots one, but I had the chocolate. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
It had some nice texture to it, and it was good. It was tasty.
Yeah, well,
but I'm not eating it like a, it's just some kind of an extravaganza kind of thing? Or,
I mean, I could go into some kind of sugar-related spiral. I'm already a little bit jazzed up here today. But anyway, so what happens on tomorrow night between the hours of 6 and...
6 to 10 p.m.
Yeah.
at participating Baskin-Robbins locations.
Right.
You can come into a store and have a free scoop of ice cream.
That's pretty nice.
It's free scoop night.
Any kind of ice cream you want?
Any kind you want?
Yeah.
Well, that's right, which is a great time to opportunity to try the new Shrek flavors because they are in the stores now.
And then they, in celebration of that, they're going to make a donation to First Book, which is a national nonprofit organization that provides free new books to children from low-income families.
And we've worked with First Book for the last 4 years, and we have probably donated over 1 million books now from this event.
That's
very exciting.
Most of the books actually have to do with eating Baskin-Robbins ice cream, however. There's a Robert Cormier book that has ice cream somewhere in the title. And of course, there's The Emperor of Ice Cream by Wallace Stevens. That's not really a children's book. And what other flavors are there here? I might have one other kind. What would you recommend?
Yeah, you really should. You've only had two or three.
No, I've got two so far.
Well, two
so far? Little scoops, they're little tasting sizes.
Where's that blue-green one over there?
I don't want to eat the blue-green stuff.
I brought pralines and cream. That's a must.
Yeah, that's a good. But that's maybe too much like the gold middle one.
Look at the size of
it. No, not really.
Little?
And there's mint chocolate chip. That's another big seller.
Oh, well, Janine just came in. Janine, our boss, just came in. It's the first interest she's taken on our show in like 2 or 3 months.
Well, it's actually been longer than that.
Yeah. And she came racing in here and commandeered a lot of the mint chocolate chip. I'm not sure there is any left now.
There's all sorts to choose from.
Well, anyway, it's a very nice thing in Baskin-Robbins. I guess, there's one over there on New Britain Avenue now, right?
There is. There's one on New Britain Avenue. And then really for the rest of your listeners, I would suggest to go to www.baskinrobbins.com, and then you can find the store closest to you.
That would be our other listener.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that'll be tomorrow night, and you can get that's pretty nice free ice cream.
I
think people lining
it's
up.
A lot of fun. It's a very fun event. This is something that the franchisees do to really thank their customers for being so great all year long.
Yeah. Well, there used to be one in West Harbor Center, but now it's not. It's been taken over by depraved ice cream retailers, including this new, she doesn't want me to mention it, I'm sure.
No, of course
she does. One chain that has Moo in the title or something, and I looked in there in their ice creams, and they looked disturbing to me. And now that I know that there's a Baskin-Robbins over on New Britain Avenue, I'm not going to be eating any of that moo-related ice cream.
That's right.
Look at these people. They're standing out here. They're like jackals. Look at them. Look at these people. They are like, really, they're just vultures circling our studio right now to try. Oh, yeah. Well,
they're salespeople. What do you
know? And they're depraved FM on-air people and stuff. And,
well, we brought plenty.
Well, there's tons of ice cream here. And thank you very much for dropping by. It's a great promotion.
Well, thank you for having me.
And you can stay longer if you want. You can't be on the air anymore, but you can just stay here. You know, keep us company.
I have that beans alibi, the little girl. Won't you step right up?
Oh, I can listen to Mark Murphy sing that whole time, but we got some work to do here. Our friend Jeannie. What is Bob Cox, the Clint Eastwood of weather forecaster, say at this point?
You better ask yourself the following question. Mr. Storm. Mr. Jerkface Storm. You'd be asking yourself.
And this is Bob Cox. We do have a mixture of clouds and sunshine across much of the area at this time, but there are scattered showers, and they see.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
Now, I wanted to give some crime-fighting news from one of my personal crime-fighting heroes, Chief State's Attorney Christopher Morano. You know, he started that municipal corruption office, or whatever they're called, political corruption, municipal corruption. Remember that? It could be said that they have missed every big case of any significance here in the state of Connecticut for the last few years, but... they bagged a big fish today. They've announced that they have arrested the head custodian at Old Saybrook High School for allegedly having school employees do work for his private business on school. And these guys, they're not afraid of anybody. They don't care how big a janitor you are, all right? A lot of people would be scared to take on the head janitor at Old Saybrook High School.
Yeah.
A lot of people would say, he's too big, he'll crush us.
Yeah.
But Christopher Morano...
You can understand maybe one of the subordinates.
Yeah.
You know.
So they didn't go after Roland. So they didn't go after any of these other people, all right?
When I won the Connecticut Lottery's win for...
All right, everybody.
This is off. Immediately. I love Sammy Davis. This is not Sammy Davis as far as I'm concerned. It's just an aberration. Get it off. That's not Sammy Davis.
Who could dance?
All right.
We'll just
wait. You know,
we'll just forget that ever happened.
You know, the ice cream seems to have been seems to be affecting the ones.
Giving me a little bit of an edge. There's no question about that.
I wouldn't even say that. I'd say
a lot of an edge.
Yeah, I'd say it's gone over the edge.
I've gone over the edge.
Yeah,
it's fine. Talk to Bill from Madison.
You okay?
We'll just pretend that little Sammy Davis thing never happened.
Do we have a what is it? What's there? Is there a history there or something?
No, it's a horrible song that he had no business singing. It just, you know, when he tried to be...
But it was a hit.
I know it was a big hit. That's another reason. I mean, it's just, I know it was a hit. I mean, it's a horrible song. Most hits are horrible songs. I mean, he's a wonderful singer. I love Sammy Davis. I don't like to think of him in connection with that.
Deprive Sammy of having a hit record?
No, I mean, it's fine. He's dead.
We
should never play it again. He's dead. He can't benefit or be harmed in any way.
Plus, I think you may have injured Mr. Sherwood's
that was just a
delicate
horrible... he injured my delicate. Let's talk to Bill.
Well, a federal judge in Louisville, Kentucky is weighing the case of 5 jockeys suing for their right to wear advertising on their turtlenecks and breeches during this Saturday's Kentucky Derby. You know, that's an advertising opportunity that McDonald's and Burger King should probably stay away from. It's time for Sport That's Wild, a very French sports discussion segment of Mr. Ronaldine in Le Paxton Way, Mr. Bruce Evans, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
good opportunity for jockey underwear, however.
There you go. You know, aren't the horses going kind of fast, though, you know, for the ads to be seen?
They're bouncing up and down, too, I mean, on the horse and everything.
There you go.
Boy, you guys put some very good points.
Why don't you just talk to Sal Haney and make it a trifecta? Why don't you just make it a hat trick?
Let me put it this way. If you got an all-star band, and I used to talk about this when I did the big band show, if you got, you know, Louis Armstrong and Harry James and all these other great trumpeters and all the great saxophonists and so on, you put them together, that doesn't make them a good orchestra. You need a couple of great soloists, a couple of leaders, and a few sidemen to fill in the gaps. The Yankees don't have that. They don't have a Pope.
All right, we're back. I'm unprepared because I spent the entire break filling out 10 million timesheets.
There's just something very, very funny about watching that, and I have no idea why. It's just that...
Since you obviously don't like doing
it. Well, I know you hate it, and it was the... As I'm looking out of the corner of my eye, I hear, you know...
Just slamming each one down as they do. The problem is, for people listening, not that you should care, but I never fill out my timesheets here. So eventually what happens is after, like, you know, months go by, Janine Lee, our patient and understanding boss, I really do have a very nice boss here. I mean, she's very understanding and stuff, and she figured out that we each have our own little set of quirks. I have more quirks than everybody else here combined. I understand that. Although, well, that doesn't really true either.
A little set of quirks.
Buddy is mad as a hatter, so, I mean, maybe...
Well, you picked the biggest nutcase in the building to compare yourself to.
Well, I'm just saying, okay, I have a lot of quirks, and I have things that I like to do and things that I don't like to do. And one of the things I don't like to do is fill out my timesheet, so I just don't do it. And then she comes back. The problem is that then I have to fill out my timesheet going back to the formation of the Earth. I mean, I have, like, timesheets going back to the Big Bang here that I have to fill out. So,
I know she's got a nice little note to go with.
But she's very nice. We have no complaints here. I mean, Sal Haney's a moron, but what are you going to do? No, that's not even true. At this point, I just say it because I know it will upset him. I don't even mean it. I mean, I think he's actually a good boss. I think this is a good place to work, and the people are very understanding. And, you know, someday they'll fire me. But, you know, I still think they're... our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC.
You've had quite a day so far.
I don't know what the ripple effect is that they're talking about in the news tease about the emissions thing, but I can tell you one thing. You know who's really getting screwed? Is Joe Grease Monkey. That's who's getting screwed. Joe Buttcrack Garage Guy is getting screwed by the emissions thing, because what happened is these guys, I mean, I don't know, They privatized this thing and they shipped it out to the garages. 279 garages.
Yeah, more convenience.
Yeah.
No waiting.
And the problem, so then these poor guys put their put the testing equipment in. You pretty much have to lock up a bay to do this.
Yes, you do.
So you lock up a bay to do this, and then what happens? The contract goes into, you know, it goes down to the toilet. They have a 90-day suspension right now. Well, they can't get all this stuff out of the bays that easily. So now they have no income coming in.
Hey, Sal, Haney's on the hotline, you guys. We heard you guys ripping on him.
Want? What does he want?
He won't go on the air. He never goes on the air. He's been invited to go on the air. He never will do it.
It'll never happen. So they're totally screwed. I mean, a lot of them have, what, three bays or something like that, probably, right? Well, one of them, they thought money was going to come in from this thing. Well, it's not anymore.
It's amazing. The place where I get my oil changed, some of these Valvoline deals, they had put in all that equipment. And it used to be you couldn't even get in the store. There were so many people. I go there this week, and it's like nobody.
Now, it is also true that there's this rather alarming set of emails that got disclosed between a DMV guy and one of the Agbar guys talking about how some of these chains really seem to be, you know, they're always pushing products on you. You go to Valvoline, too, and they're always telling me you got to flush your energy out, your engine out with ginseng or something like that, you know. And I'm always saying, well, really? You got to do it right now, you know.
They don't do that. I mean, they offer certain things. I mean, they'll mention it to you, but if you
don't, it's just very like, grave. Go away. Oh my God, you got to put this $79 with the ginseng in your engine right now, or this thing's gone.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's some alarm about some of the.
Well, you just have used
some
head,
of the, whether the chains were sort of incorporating that philosophy of selling you all kinds of treatments that you may or may not need to pass your emissions test. Some question was raised about this in a series of emails.
Right.
Out in the blue.
Do you have a problem with the Dean Martin hits, too?
I love this song.
Everybody loves somebody and Houston and
I mean, I think, you know, with both of these guys and some other people that I could name, but they're both great examples of guys who were terrific singers, but in order to make any money, they had to record a real crap.
What about Strangers in the Night with Sinatra and...
I don't think that's Sinatra at his best. No, and I certainly think My Way is a horrible song. Jeez.
Is this the ice cream talking, or is this just...
I feel that way. Do you want to talk about those Rat Pack guys? I mean, I think Sammy's a spectacular singer.
He's probably the most talented of all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, but listen to the Dino, taking that Johnny Mercer song somewhere. Now, that's a terrific tune, and he does a nice job with it. And, you know, what's he doing singing about Houston? He's probably never even been to Houston.
I was trying to think, there are others, too, but I...
Yeah, I mean, most of the stuff that they made money on, because people don't want to hear... I don't understand why this is, why people would rather hear Candyman than, you know, My Romance or... About Swell or something. I just don't get that. I don't understand why it would be necessary to record to make any money, Strangers in the Night or My Way or something like that. I mean, these are just, you know, but it is true. That's what people want to hear. They don't want to hear some great Rodgers and Hart tune. They want to hear dumb.
Summer Wind was another Sinatra giant. Summer Wind?
Well, actually, I think that's a good song.
Yeah.
You're not talking about the Johnny Rivers song. You're talking about...
Summer Wind. Yeah. No, not the Johnny Rivers song.
Yeah. Actually, Summer Wind is actually a...
Summer Rain would be the Johnny Rivers
song.
Right.
Summer Wind's actually a nice tune. I can't try to even think who wrote that. Maybe like Sammy Kahn or somebody like that. And that's a legitimate song. I like that.
Well, that was a hit.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice example. I don't know if he didn't make the kind of money on that he made from, you know, the junk he had to record. And I just don't... I will never understand that. I will never understand why people would rather hear bad music than good music.
Yeah.
I'll go to my grave puzzled.
By the way, I would just want to throw in that the Billy Joel driving course has been canceled for tonight.
Right.
So
he didn't
make your plans accordingly. He went through the whole day and didn't hit a house today, so it's pretty good, I guess. I guess that would be considered success.
Right. And they have like a little sign up there, you know, days since collision with house, you know, and they put a new number up every day.
It's actually not funny hitting a house.
Well, it depends.
Yeah. All right, we have a ton of calls.
Okay, I just want to say one thing before we go to the ton of calls, which is the one thing that we haven't talked about in the whole 3 hours here, and it's a pretty big story. And one reason we haven't talked about it is I really, honest to God, have to admit I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't know what I'm talking about, and I just talk about them anyway. What the heck, it's talk radio. But I'm just really puzzled by the medical malpractice thing. I know John Garagosian, he's a friend of mine, kind of got ripped on Ray Dunaway by Ray today, for what he said in the paper, but I think John was saying something kind of true, too, which is that It's a really, really complicated question. I think it has as much to do about with whether insurance companies are as competitive as they used to be. I mean, there's just fewer of them. And, I mean, there's just like a bunch of things that kind of feed into this. And I don't think it's as simple as people make it out to be. And, I mean, I have a hard time, you know, lining out my position on medical malpractice. I'm not sure that there is a crisis of the proportions that we've been led to believe, but as I say. Well, you got to, you know. Yeah, let's take these calls.
Where would you like to go first?
I don't care.
Since you're in such a surly mood today.
Well, I'd be willing to talk to Patty because I did why I didn't answer her question.
Right.
Yes.
Patty?
Hello.
Hi.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
Dan Pope and Stuart Onan will be there tomorrow night. Are you going to read?
We're going to do a little bit of reading and some, we're going to give prizes away.
Prizes?
You don't give prizes away at your book.
Well, I never thought about giving prizes away at them.
It doesn't matter.
I'm going to be at Edwards Books' prequel that I'm giving away a Buick.
Somebody's Buick. They don't know it yet.
That's right.
I'm giving away
a key that will start somebody's Buick. I never thought about this whole idea of giving away prizes before as a way of selling them. I think it's a very good idea.
Hello, I'm Melanie, Director of Quality Assurance for Companions and Homemakers.
I just want to go back to this medical malpractice thing, because, as I say, I mean, there was this vote